Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show, everybody. We are heading into week 6 in this crazy season. Professor Chris and Nader here with you as usual on this beautiful Thursday night. Nader, how's it going, man?
The weather's good. Then the football rumors are juicy. It's week 6. Can't complain.
Man, but doesn't it feel like, it's already week 6. We're a third of the way done.
Yeah, we are. But I mean, this is what we're waiting for. This is where your standings start getting settled. Your rosters, you can start feeling out who's good, who's not. And this is where the NFL trades happen. The fantasy trades happen. And this is where the fun begins.
Yeah, it certainly is. Guys, this is going to be a fun show. We're going to be talking about the not top 10. So this is a segment that we did with Marcus Grant a few weeks ago. We're going to talk about the top 10 running backs and wide receivers for week 6, according to Fantasy Pros expert consensus ranking, and talking about who doesn't belong in that top 10. But before we do that, guys, SleeperWire has a ton of stuff going on right now. On Patreon, do you want to win a signed Chris Godwin or Kenny Golladay jersey? Once we reach 100 Patreons at patreon.com/sleeperwire, we will randomly pick one person, announce them on the show, and they'll get their choice of the jersey. And even the $1 tier on our Patreon gets you in. So check out patreon.com/sleeperwire and get in on this jersey contest. How about a SleeperWire mug or SleeperWire t-shirt, SleeperWire hoodie? We have a ton of stuff right now at the SleeperWire store. Visit sleeperwire.com/store. Also want to talk to you guys about Pristine Auction. They have hundreds of daily auctions for all kinds of memorabilia. It is 100% free to join and free to bid, and you only pay when you win the auction. And right now, you can get $5 off your first item by entering promo code SleeperWire. Visit pristineauction.com to get this deal. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. And lastly, come prop up with us on Thrive Fantasy. It's a daily fantasy sports app for player prop bets. For the NFL, you choose 10 out of 20 player prop options to build your lineup. The riskier the pick, the more points it's worth. Earn the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Use promo code SLEEPERS when you sign up today, and you'll receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy from the App Store or Play Store. And when you enter promo code SLEEPERS, email a screenshot of that to us at sleeperwire@gmail.com, and it'll automatically get you into a 2021 SleeperWire Listener League. Let's move into the news. Big news, Nader, today. This was huge. You know, it started yesterday with the Jets releasing Le'Veon Bell. Well, as of, what, about like an hour before we started the show?
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect timing. Le'Veon Bell signed a one-year deal with the Kansas City Chiefs. You said you had some stuff you wanted to say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so I'm going to pass the ball off to you.
I mean, he's been disappointing for what you drafted him as for your fantasy league. And he's been disappointing for the Kansas City Chiefs as well. I mean, some quick statistics on why they went after Le'Veon Bell is because Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not getting it done in the red zone. I mean, from week one, he had one touchdown so far this year, and that was not even in the red zone. He got stuffed in the red zone week one against the Texans, four times behind the line of scrimmage on the goal line. And then you saw the red zone total statistics to how many touches he gets. I mean, in week two, surprisingly, the Chiefs, they only had three snaps in the red zone. Clyde Edwards had one snap or one touch out of those three snaps, and he did not pull it into the end zone. In week two and week three and week four, the Kansas City Chiefs, they had 9 red zone plays, and Clyde only had 2 of those touches. And then, of course, into week 5, the Kansas City Chiefs had 13 red zone plays, and the only touch that Clyde got was a negative gain. So right now, Clyde Edwards, he currently has negative yards in the red zone, and that's not going to cut it if you want to win a Super Bowl.
No, certainly not. And, you know, we're also not seeing the receiving work that everybody thought we were going to. You know, he's going to be, he's what Damian Williams should have been. He's going to be a PPR monster. It's just not been there.
Yeah, everybody thought he would be the next Kareem Hunt. They thought he might be even better than Kareem Hunt. Yep. But unfortunately, he hasn't been either of those, which is why you're now seeing Le'Veon Bell joining the roster.
And he immediately takes over the RB1 job for the Chiefs, right?
Now, according to COVID rules, he probably will not be able to play against the Bills. He has to go into a 5-day testing, quarantine for him to make sure that he doesn't have it for 5 straight days. And then he gets to join the team, which means he probably won't play against the Bills.
But the first week he's there.
That's where it gets interesting. Yeah. All right. So that's where it gets interesting. I'm going to put both running backs in flex rankings at this point. You know, you don't know what you're going to get, but you're still probably going to start them.
Is this the time to trade for Le'Veon Bell, or is his value just too high right now?
Yeah, right now, if you have a Kansas City Chiefs running back, chances are the asking price is going to be way too high.
Yeah, it's going to skyrocket.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure. Well, let's move into our weekly COVID-19 update, because this is just going to keep happening. Sucks that we have to keep talking about it. The Atlanta Falcons shut down their facility on Thursday after multiple positive tests. That brings, is it three teams now who have been affected with COVID? The Tennessee Titans, New England Patriots, and now the Falcons.
So the Chiefs, technically, they had somebody with COVID, but that didn't affect them in any way. So no.
Well, and the Saints had that one positive test result that turned out to be a false positive.
Yes, yeah. Yep. So I don't know if you want to count that, but technically it affected things.
Right. And now as of, you know, 8:30 Eastern on Thursday night, this is all we know.
Yeah.
The Falcons play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. Nader, as of right now on Thursday night, do you think we need to prepare for, you know, not having Matt Ryan, Todd Gurley, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Hayden Hurst, Dalvin Cook / Alexander Mattison, whoever's going to be there, and Adam Thielen? Do we need to prepare for these guys not to be there? Because bye weeks are here, man.
Yeah, you have to prepare. And unfortunately, you might have to drop a player. You don't, but it'll be very unfortunate if you're banking on them playing and then they all of a sudden don't play. But luckily, usually it'll get canceled or postponed a few days or a day ahead of schedule. So at least gives you at least a second to prepare.
Yeah, it's, well, just another week in 2020, right?
That's half the fun of fantasy right now.
Unless you're in a money league, and then that's half the frustration.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Lamar Jackson said that the Ravens are doing, quote, fine without him running so much. Kind of a bummer for those who drafted him, hoping for another 1,000-plus rushing yards. I know that's what I was looking forward to.
Yeah, he's still going to run it. I mean, that offense is built around the run, so he might not get 1,000 yards rushing. I could see him getting 700, but he still has his injured knee that he has to worry about. So they're probably going to keep it at a standstill until that point.
Well, and 700 is almost half of what he got last year.
Yeah, but I think drafting him, you should have expected some type of regression, considering he broke records with that 1,000-plus rushing yards. And when you break a record, you tend to not do it twice.
I suppose that is true. Devontae Adams returned to full practice on Wednesday, so he's going to be back. Looking forward to having him back in our lineups. Melvin Gordon got charged for a DUI on Tuesday night, going roughly, and this was a weird quote, 25 to 39 miles per hour over the speed limit.
That's
a wide range.
That is a very wide range. I mean, I don't know if like you have to put it in a bracket for ticketing reasons, but
maybe
that's definitely a huge range. I'm not sure how the officer could come up with those values.
Well, I wasn't clocking you, but you were going over speed limit. So.
Well, if it wasn't the speed limit, then it was the driving drunk. I'm not sure if he's going to play.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not sure what the Broncos want to do. He's not getting charged, or his court date isn't for another month, so he technically could keep playing as long as the NFL doesn't intervene.
Well, and he was back at practice today.
Yes, which I don't think should be happening. Driving drunk is reckless. It's irresponsible. Even though I'm a Lindsay owner, I don't think he should be playing.
No. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Last little bit of news here. Kyle Allen will start for the Washington football team against the New York Giants. So the Alex Smith experiment for, what, 3/4 of a game is maybe over. Man, at least he knows now that he can get sacked repeatedly and be okay.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate situation because he did go against the Rams and Aaron Donald. So he got thrown into the wolves. Yeah. Luckily, he came out okay. Aaron Donald's, he averaged 2.5 seconds per sack last week. So there's no quarterback that could have done anything about that. Unfortunately, Kyle Allen is going to be the quarterback on top now.
That's better for Terry McLaurin than Alex Smith was, though.
I don't feel like any quarterback in this situation was set up to succeed against the Rams.
Yeah, maybe not.
I do feel like Terry McLaurin is still a must start regardless of who is quarterback, but I definitely do think Kyle Allen is right now better set up to succeed.
I do have one league where I just can't ever decide if I want to play McLaurin or not. It's a super flex, and there's only one flex spot, and there's only two wide receivers. I've got Allen Robinson, Terry McLaurin, and Robert Woods.
It's hard to start Terry McLaurin when other options have solid quarterbacks.
Yep. But then when I haven't started him, he's gone off for 20 plus PPR points. When Woods didn't. So it's like A-Rob is always in my lineup, but I keep flip-flopping between Robert Woods and Terry McLaurin.
My suggestion would be trying to pair somebody up and try trading them both for an upgrade.
It's not a very active league, so I don't know if that would work, but
ouch, that's the worst.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, but I am 5-0 and it's the one that's worth the most money. So
there we go.
And I lost Christian McCaffrey. So once I get him back, I'm going to be good.
There we go.
All right, guys, we're going to get into tonight's segment, the Not Top 10. Like I said before, we're going to talk about the top 10 ranked on Fantasy Pros, running backs and wide receivers, and figure out who doesn't belong there. And these are the PPR rankings. Let's go with the running backs first. So, Nader, I'm just going to read through the top 10 here, and then I'll give the next five so we can see who's just outside of the top 10.
Okay.
But from 1 through 10, we have 1, Ezekiel Elliott versus Arizona, 2, Derrick Henry versus Houston, 3, Kareem Hunt at Pittsburgh, 4, Clyde Edwards-Helaire at Buffalo. I made this list before the news broke, so we might have some stuff to say about this. Mike Davis versus Chicago at 5, James Robinson versus Detroit at 6. At 7, we have Jonathan Taylor versus Cincinnati. 8 is Alexander Mattison versus Atlanta. 9, James Conner versus Cleveland. And then 10, Miles Sanders versus Baltimore. And then the next 5, we've got from 11 to 15, Aaron Jones, Todd Gurley, Joe Mixon, David Montgomery, and David Johnson. So there's a couple things that we can, sort of get out of the way. If Dalvin Cook plays, Alexander Mattison's not in the top 10.
Yes, that'd be correct. You'd probably have to swap Dalvin Cook with Alexander Mattison and probably bump up Dalvin Cook a couple slots.
Yeah, I think you could bump up Dalvin Cook into top 5.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against Cook, and especially the way they're playing right now and against the Falcons defense that's been decimated.
Well, and the way that Dalvin Cook has been playing too.
Mm-hmm. He's playing angry right now, and you like to see it.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. Now, you did say that Bell's probably not going to play this week at Buffalo due to having to pass that COVID test. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 4 seems a little rich for me, especially going against Buffalo in Buffalo.
Yeah, you saw Derrick Henry definitely struggle a little bit. Other than a stiff arm highlight, he was pretty shut down. I definitely do not want to start Clyde Edwards. I definitely do not want to put him at number 4.
Yeah. Well, let's look through the rest of the list here and say who doesn't belong. And I'm going to say Miles Sanders against the Ravens does not belong in the top 10.
I agree, but I don't mind him being at number 10. My doesn't belong there is Kareem Hunt against Pittsburgh.
In the top 10, no Kareem Hunt.
I would replace Kareem Hunt with Aaron Jones.
Okay. That's who I would replace Miles Sanders with.
Yeah. Aaron Jones is a top 10 back, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending if you have him. The way the Packers offense is set up, he just gets very good looks, very good runs. And with Davante Adams coming back, it just opens up the offense a little bit more for him.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I will say I do like Todd Gurley.
I do.
But I don't know enough to put him in the top 10. He's ranked in the top 12, so he's ranked as an RB1, but I think that might be appropriate for him. Usually when we're doing the not top 10 segment, we do it a couple times a season. There's a bunch of guys where we can say, okay, yeah, him, no, him, no, him, no. But here, the only guy I can see who shouldn't be in the top 10 is Miles Sanders. Can you see anyone besides Kareem Hunt who shouldn't be in the top 10?
I would like to bump Jonathan Taylor down a couple notches.
Okay.
He has been touchdown dependent, in my opinion, and he has been saved by a couple touchdowns, especially last week. He had a pretty disappointing game rather than a touchdown. I would prefer, if I had one slot available and I had Todd Gurley and Jonathan Taylor, I might pull the trigger on Todd Gurley the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, great week last week.
He had multiple great weeks. So, I mean, sometimes you got to ride the hot hand.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, I like it. Anybody else? Well, how do you feel about Mike Davis at number 5 against the Bears? Is this a revenge game?
It is, and it's not a revenge game because Mike Davis went, he was an undrafted from the Niners. He went to the Seahawks, and then he shuffled between the Niners and the Seahawks multiple times before getting signed by Chicago and now the Panthers. It's technically a revenge game, but it's Mike Davis's floor, his PPR floor, and the amount of receptions he's getting that keeps him in the top 5.
Yeah, I like it. He was getting, 8 or 9 receptions a game?
Yeah, and if it's full PPR, I mean, 8 free points for doing almost nothing and just catching a pass, it's too easy to pass up, and it's difficult to not put him up on this list because of it.
Let me see what he's been doing in the receiving game. So since week 2, 8, 8, 5, 9.
Yeah, I mean, ridiculous. That's more than most receivers. I mean, right now, other than Robbie Anderson, he's their best wide receiver.
He's got 30 receptions in 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You expand that out over a 16-week season, that's 120 catches.
As of right now, this is a little bit of a hot take, and it might not be completely true, but he is outperforming Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, Mike CMC Davis out here.
And it just makes you wonder, what are they going to do when Christian McCaffrey comes back? Because Mike Davis deserves some playing time because of this.
Yeah, I mean, it might make you a little bit nervous. I'm not sure. Because, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's that guy who, you're going to start no matter what.
You have to, yes.
You have to. But as of right now, Mike Davis needs to be started no matter what because he's been killing it.
Yeah, exactly. And when Christian McCaffrey comes back, he might play 80% of the time or 70% of the time instead of the 90% of the time. But you drafted him first overall because he's on the field 90 to 95% of the time. If he was playing 70 or 80, you would take Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Yep. It's going to be interesting to see, but I think this shows that the Panthers do not have to rush Christian McCaffrey back. I mean, they're winning without him.
I mean, they lost every game that he's been on the field, and they've won every game that he hasn't been on the field.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey makes teams worse. You heard it here from Nader first.
Ouch. That's a rough quote. Come on.
Oh, that would be even better if it's just in writing. So not even any context or anything. Oh, just God. Nader says Christian McCaffrey makes teams bad.
You know what? I'm putting my name on that.
Let's go ahead and move over to wide receivers now. And before we do that, I want to give a quick shout out to the other shows here in the Sleeperwire Network. We have Top Tier Tactics, which is you and your buddy Bud, Break from Correct. The Grind, Fantasy Fam, and Fantasy Champs. Go find and follow these guys, give them some support, and check out the Destination Devi podcast as well. They do a ton of work in the up-and-coming world of Devi Fantasy Football, and they are great at what they do. So the top 10 wide receivers here in order: DeAndre Hopkins at Dallas, Tyreek Hill at Buffalo, Adam Thielen versus Atlanta, Calvin Ridley at Minnesota, Allen Robinson at Carolina. At 6, we have Stephon Diggs versus Kansas City, Cooper Kupp at San Francisco, Amari Cooper versus Arizona, Robert Woods at San Francisco, Mike Evans versus Green Bay to round out the top 10. And then the next 5, we have Will Fuller at 11, Terry McLaurin, Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb, and DJ Moore. So we do have a couple teams that have 2 wide receivers ranked in the top 15, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp at 7 and 9. And then we have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb at 8 and 14.
This is a difficult list. Okay. I'm going to strike Amari Cooper at number 8 as off the top 10.
Okay.
Okay. And I want to put Will Fuller, maybe not necessarily in the 8th spot, but I'm going to bump him into the top 10. Actually, Devontae Adams needs to be in the top 10. Him at 13 is terrible. Yep. Yeah, he needs to be in there also. Okay, so I'm going to put Devontae Adams for number 9, Robert Woods. I'm going to switch him. It's not too much of a switch, but Davante Adams, he needs to be in the top 10.
I'm going to take Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods out of the top 10.
Ooh, both of them.
Both of them. And I'm going to put in Davante Adams. Okay. And, oh, you know, this guy's not on the list, but for some, I've always loved this guy. You know, for years now, thought he's a wide T.Y. receiver.
No. Please don't say T.Y.
He's
Hilton.
A wide receiver one talent, and he's finally getting the opportunity. I'm going to take a shot on Robbie Anderson.
Oh, you know what? I don't mind that at all. I think Robbie Anderson's consistency and his PPR production is unmatched right now.
No, T.Y. Hilton's the wide receiver one. Don't get me wrong.
He's their wide receiver one, but he is not a wide receiver one. Come on. Last time T.Y. Hilton hit 87 yards is when Andrew Luck was quarterback.
Yeah. Well, he was injured last year, and this year, Phillip Rivers, I mean, man, he's just out there throwing with a wet noodle. He can't put anything on a throw.
It's unfortunate.
It's just brutal to watch. And like, if the Colts had Phillip Rivers from a couple years ago, it would be great. But it's just, he can't put anything on the throw, and then he wonders why, you know, there's these easy receptions that a defender just has to like stand there and wait for it to come to him.
Yeah, a little bit of a duck. It's unfortunate, but yeah. I like the Robbie Anderson of the top 10. That's actually a good one. I think that's a pretty good one. But I find it difficult to take out both of the Rams receivers against the 49ers. I mean, the Niners, they're right now, they're on the cornerback 4 and 5 right now on the raw depth chart.
I guess that's true.
So, and then but everybody else kind of deserves to be in their spot. DeAndre Hopkins against the Dallas secondary, he's going to get a bunch of fantasy points there. He's going to eat Tyreek Hill. I mean, you can never not start Tyreek Hill. Same with Adam Thielen. Now Calvin Ridley's earned his must-start category. Allen Robinson, he's a stud. Stephon Diggs right now, he's the second leading receiver in yards against Kansas City. That should be a shootout. And then now you're in the fuzzy range of Cooper Kupp and Amari Cooper. I want to take Amari Cooper off because, you know, with the injury at quarterback, the uncertainty, who Andy Dalton likes, who he doesn't like. It's too much of a fuzzy spot for me to put in Cooper Kupp. Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I like that too. And you know what I was not thinking about when I was picking wide receivers is the fact that Dak isn't even there.
Exactly.
That didn't even cross my mind. And I don't know why, because that was huge news from last week. God. In a very hard to watch video clip.
The worst part is they kept replaying it and then do it in slow motion.
And then they
zoom in and then they slow-mo on the spot. And they're like, here, this is exactly where his foot went 360 degrees.
Yeah, it was a rough one. So yeah, I'm going to change my vote. I'm going to take out, if I have to pick two, I'm going to take out Cooper Kupp and Amari Cooper. I'm going to take out the Coopers.
Ouch. Why got to do that to the Coopers?
I just like Robert Woods a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that one. Robert Woods is a little versatile. He can run the ball and catch it. Can't complain there.
For sure. All right, anyone else that doesn't belong? Or I feel like they did a pretty good job this week, the expert consensus rankings.
DJ Moore against Chicago defense. I mean, he's at number 15 right now, but I want to put him much lower on the list. He had to break a long catch and run for him to come fantasy relevant last week. But against the Chicago defense that held Tom Brady and his offense in check last week, I expect that to happen again with Teddy Bridgewater.
And DJ Moore is ranked above Robbie Anderson right now.
He is. I would prefer having Robbie Anderson than DJ Moore if I had the opportunity to have either one.
100%. Absolutely agree.
There we go.
All right, guys. Well, that is going to wrap it up for this week's show. Kind of a short one, but hey, sometimes it works out that way. Follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show, at Top Tier Tactics. Is it one or underscore?
So underscore would be mine. Gotcha. One would be my co-host, Bud. But since I'm on the show, you're going to put underscore on there. You're going to follow that one.
Top Tier Tactics underscore. And then I'm on there at Prof_ChrisSW. And you can also get at me on the Sleeper app at Professor Chris. And Nader, where else can people find you?
So if you're on any podcasting platform, whether that's Apple Podcast, Spotify or Android. You can find us at Top Tier Tactics. And then on YouTube, where we started posting up green screen skits and all that good stuff, we definitely had one for the legendary Adam Gase and him releasing Le'Veon Bell. You can find that at Top Tier Tactics Fantasy Football, where we definitely do condensed versions of the podcast.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. We will catch you guys on next week.
Good luck, everybody.